If running late showed a streak of rebellion, Miranda Hanford was already in trouble. Pulling her van to the side of the narrow road, she tallied the other vehicles lined up on the shoulder. She wasn't the last to arrive at Mason's emergency meeting. She could steal a moment with Jezebel. She picked up her camera and climbed out. Working quickly in the cold, she framed the last sliver of sun as red as a forest fire above the pine-stubbled peaks. In the foreground, a maple sapling curled its bare limbs around the sunset, unwilling to let go, like sweet, stubborn Martha at bedtime, refusing to believe the day was over. Miranda clicked the shutter. Before the sun abandoned the Blue Ridge to the night, she nailed 5 promising shots. She tucked the camera into its case and locked it in the van. An old lady who'd seen more of the world than her owner ever would, Jezebel deserved tender care. Holding her cape closed, Miranda hurried up the long, steep driveway. Mason had called only the single women for this meeting, 6 who hadn't married yet, and 2 widows. She hated that word. Widows were supposed to be meek, gray things, with grandchildren and arthritis. Around the last bend of the driveway, the lights of the house shone their welcome. Snow flurries swirled like silver glitter as she ran up the steps to the porch. She knocked lightly and joined the women in the living room. They'd congregated in a semicircle of folding chairs near the feeble warmth of the fireplace, their hands clasped in their laps and their voices subdued. Like the others, Miranda left her cape on, but a draft crept under her skirt and up her legs like icy fingers. She sat beside Lenore Schwartz, the other widow. "Where's Nicole?" someone asked. No one knew. Abigail, too, was missing, her absence making the room colder still. If Mason's wife had been home, she would have been dispensing hugs and peppermint tea. The ladies hushed when their pastor strode into the room. Mason crossed to the hearth and picked up the poker. He shoved the logs into compliance, making sparks fly. Amid the smell of smoke and ashes, he hung up the poker. He cut a handsome figure, his temples barely touched with gray, and his face remarkably unlined for his 50-some years. "Ladies, thank you for coming on such short notice. I want to share what I announced at the men's meeting last night." He paused, surveying the semicircle like a watchful shepherd inspecting his lambs. One of the flawed lambs, Miranda, shifted in her chair. It squeaked in the silence. "I have a word from the Lord." Again, Mason took a moment to study the women. "I am to move from Slade's Creek." Mason? Leaving town? Miranda's heart made an unexpected leap. But Lenore bleated in distress and twisted her age-spotted hands together. "We're moving to North Carolina," he said, "to a beautiful little town called McCabe, where people take care of themselves and each other, where the government stays out of people's business." Miranda fidgeted again, and her chair betrayed her restlessness with another creak. If the government didn't stay out of people's business in Georgia, it wasn't likely to be much better in North Carolina.
"If it's the Lord's will, it's the Lord's will," Lenore said. "But I don't know how we'll get along without you and Abigail. We'll miss you terribly."
"No, you won't," Mason smiled. "You're coming with us, all of you. It's a new beginning for the whole church. There are jobs in McCabe, inexpensive housing, too, and clean air and water. It's practically paradise."
A wave of excited whispers rustled through the room, but defiance woke within Miranda and prowled like an angry cat. She couldn't leave Slade's Creek. She wouldn't.